Hey, all. Four of them. Today we're going to be going through 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. The beautiful thing about this is that we're going to build right off of Chris's sermon from last week and talking about how that gospel identity leads right into gospel wisdom. And so I want to remind you of a phrase that we've gone through in the past. Most of you know this, and Chris may have reminded you of this, even in the last few sermons. It's Coram Deo, to intentionally live all of life in the presence of God, under the authority of God, by the grace of God, for the glory of God. And so what that has to do with what we're talking about today is the fact that Coram Deo is exactly the type of identity that we're trying to achieve here at RBC. And so when we look at the way RBC has been structured, the way that RBC has been moving forward, everything is meant to be with intention. So we are worshiping with intention. We are on mission with intention. We are being discipled and discipling with intention. We are fellowshipping with intention. So that community is so important, growth. We are serving with intention. Was really excited to see the bags and how Maggie and Julia, there we go, that's their names, had worked so hard in serving the community. And this thing that's coming up where everybody gets to participate, and guys, that is what this is, it's a participation. So when you give, when you participate in what we're doing with GCA, to be able to bring relief to people who are hurting, that's participation in service. And then when we look at what it means to intentionally give and be stewards of what God has given us, that's all part of this. And so it all sums up down to using the gospel wisdom that God has given us. And so this morning in 1 Corinthians, if you join with me, I'm going to be reading from the ESV. We're going to read verses 18 through 31. It's an astonishing passage when you stop and think about everything that God is saying to us in his word through the Apostle Paul. And if you'll join with me in verse 18, it says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of the age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren. Not many of you were wise according to the world's standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of Christ. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us the wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." All right, so when we're talking about wisdom from Christ and what God is doing here, the idea of wisdom, what we're talking about here, is using God-given knowledge and truth to intentionally show glory to God and love for people. Okay, so when we're talking about gospel truth and gospel wisdom, gospel power, we're talking about that very idea, is that using this knowledge and truth to intentionally show glory to God and love for people, all right? So when we go back up to verse 18, which if you have never, so this is my aside, and this is going to be my my encouragement to everybody. If you've never, ever, ever put to memory 1 Corinthians 1:18, do it this week, okay? Do it this week. "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." That is going to be the pivotal verse for this entire passage. It's going to be followed up by verse 30 as the second pivotal verse of this passage, okay? So both of those verses dealing with the very idea of the power and wisdom of God working in your life, okay, in my life, through the power of the gospel. So let's start off, though, with why does the cross cause stumbling and seem stupid to those in unbelief, all right? Now, notice I did not say the lost, all right? Notice that I'm saying, why does the cross cause stumbling and seem stupid to those in unbelief, all right? Now, the idea of unbelief is this idea that we are seeking knowledge and we are seeking to do things outside of God's prescribed way of doing things. That is unbelief. It is not necessarily that you don't believe in God, that you don't believe in Jesus. You are not following his pattern for life. That is unbelief, okay? So when we talk about unbelief, we're talking about the idea that you can be full-on, you can be this full-on person who believes God is correct and that God is, that Jesus is the Savior, and still try to live your own life by your own pattern, okay? That it's where you're not submitting to his will. So why does the cross cause stumbling and seem stupid to those in unbelief? Well, number one, it reveals the weakness of unbelief in every single person. All right. And that includes you and me. That includes every person outside of Christ. All right. All right. So let's go back to 18 through 22, that the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being believed, it is this being saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where's the one who was wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of the age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, Greeks wisdom, all right? So we had in the day and age of Jesus and in the day and age of Paul, Jews wanted signs. They wanted God to prove he was speaking. They didn't want to go by the word of God that he'd already given them to prove that that this was a messenger of God, because that would have taken more work. All right. They wanted something to wow them. They wanted entertainment. And guys, we can fall into that same trap. Secondly, Gentiles seek the wisdom of old philosophers to justify lazy belief. It's where back in Jesus' day, in Paul's day, you had the people who were under the Greek system. They wanted to follow guys like Plato and Aristotle. All right. And what they would do is they would rehash these old arguments, and they would sit there and they would just talk about this thing until they were blue in the face. It didn't get them anywhere. It didn't teach them anything new. Why didn't it teach them anything new? Because they enjoyed just having all the answers as they wanted them. Okay. And in the present age, and what we do, all right, is people use a combination of good works and religious moralism to promote self over God. It means this, that we will go around saying that we believe in God and that that we're good people, all right? It's what we call, therapeutic moralistic deism, all right? Basically, what we're doing is we're taking God and we're basically stripping him of all of his power, all of his wisdom, and we're making him into whatever image we want, all right? And we do this by including him in our sinful habits and whatnot, and saying, well, God's okay with that, or God wanted it this way. We'll even take a scripture out of context and use it to justify what we're doing, okay? So one of the ways that I feel like I can show what this is Philip Pullman wrote a trilogy called His Dark Materials. And this guy's, he's an atheist, but his idea was basically that if you want, in order for you to have absolute freedom, you have to kill God. And so the entire trilogy is all about these children, these children rising up to kill the God that is ruling over them so that they can have absolute freedom. And the point, what we can see that as, guys, is that in us, when we are following in our unbelief, when we see our unbelief, the cross here shows that, and we don't, when we come up against the cross, when we come up against the cross of Christ, all right, we find out that our wisdom isn't as good. We find out that our unbelief is very real, all right? Secondly, it reveals the indwelling sin of every person, all right? Verse 20, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. for Jews demand signs and Greeks wisdom. Listen, what Paul is really jumping, what Paul is jumping at here is that he wants us to understand that our own wisdom is always going to have a sinful bent to it. That's why God finds it interesting. And it's almost the way Paul is saying is that God is almost entertained at the idea that he is making these people and showing this wisdom to be foolish, okay? But it reveals this indwelling sin in every person. We all desire, choose, and justify our unbelief, okay? We all choose and justify, desire, choose, and justify our unbelief. Behind, as Tim Keller likes to point out, behind every sin is an idol. Behind every idol is an unbelief in the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? In this point, I would say unbelief, just reiterating this idea of what unbelief is. It's a system of faith that omits God as our highest good and need. I just as an aside, y'all, this is the first time I've preached live to anybody in over a month. So, you know, enjoy. I'm going to make a lot of gaffes. Let's come back to it. So it reveals the indwelling sin of every person. Thirdly, it reveals the emptiness of boasting about our conventional wisdom and religion. I think y'all know, y'all should have an idea about what conventional wisdom is, all right? But if you don't, I'm going to tell you anyway. I'm good like that. Humanity has tried to brag about our abilities for millennia, okay? We're smarter. We're stronger. We're better. I mean, look at how we and the great about themselves. They were all going to join together and build this tower and say, "Hey, we don't need God. Why do we need God when we can just build this skyscraper all the way up to Him?" You know, and say, "Hey, God, what's up? We made it on our own." All right. And God said, "No, you're not." Okay. Even today, we use technology. We use medical information. We think we are more enlightened. Think about even the way, guys. Think about the way that we describe different sections of the world. For the more prosperous nations, we call ourselves first world. For the other ones who aren't us, who weren't blessed to be enlightened like us, they're called second and third world. And I realized that there was a reason for those distinctions, but there is a certain braggadociousness to it. All right. There is a certain level there that that says, "Hey, we're the level you want to get to." All right. But the reality is that's just not true. It's not true in any sense, all right? And our boasting always comes up short in dealing with eternity and the fallenness of humanity, all right? So that's why God is saying to him, God speaking through Paul, "Where is the one who is wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of the age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" Think about it this way. If you go to Job, starting in chapter 38 through 42, Job had gotten to the point where he was so frustrated with God. And guys, maybe you're there too. And let's get personal on this one. Maybe you're there too. Like Job, you're struggling with this whole thing of COVID-19. You're struggling with the isolation. You're struggling with maybe you're one of the people that lost their job. Maybe you're one. And so you're looking at God saying, "What are you doing?" And so God answers Job, but not in the way that Job wanted, all right? And so God says, "Where's your wisdom? Hey, Job, if you're so wise, why don't you teach me? Were you there when I created everything, when I set the earth on its foundations? Were you there when I put the oceans in place and told them they can only come this far and no farther? Were you there when I set the sun, moon, and stars in their place?" You see, every time our conventional wisdom always comes up short, and it always comes up short, especially with the issues of eternity and the fallenness of humanity. We all want to say that there's nothing wrong, but we all know with certainty inside there is something wrong. And no matter how much we try to tell ourselves there's nothing wrong, we still come up short with that. All right? The cross of Christ tells everyone that they need a perpetual savior. Excuse me. The reason I say perpetual, you need a savior every day. whether or not you realize it, you need a savior every day. So you need you needed a savior to call you out of darkness and into light, but you also need a savior to lead you through work tomorrow or tonight. Some of you might be working today. I don't. You need that savior though to show you what it means to be a true servant, rather than to be the person who's just faking it till you make it. All right. And then on top of that, you need a perpetual savior to make you realize that it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God and giving him glory. And the only way we can give him the glory he deserves is through that cross. All right. So why does the cross cause stumbling and seem stupid to those in unbelief? It's because it's not our will. It's not our way. That's why Paul is pointing out that these people in unbelief, and even us when we're struggling with unbelief, that really what it's coming down to is, God, I don't want to do it your way. God, I don't want your wisdom. I want my wisdom, because my wisdom does it my way, and my way gets me what I want. So how do we remedy this? That comes to this next question. How is the cross the power and wisdom of God? Because Paul's going to answer it. How is the cross the power and wisdom of God? Look back at verse 18, because that told you that's our pivotal one. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now drop to 23. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us the wisdom of God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. You know what's fun for me right now? The person on the top of my screen right now is Corliss Brunk. And Corliss's number one phrase, her number one Bible verse is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. She was not originally part of my sermon, but she's right there, so I had to use her. Okay? Here's the deal, guys. That is God's wisdom. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Miss Elsie would say the same thing. All right? Miss Elsie would say the same thing. All right? God's wisdom, let's start here. God's wisdom is his word displayed for all who believe. Look at verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. His word read in the form of the Bible. Where is this wisdom coming from? It has to be a revealed truth. Listen to me about that. It has to be a revealed truth. And it's not a truth that is just being revealed, as in this ongoing revelation that God is doing in the individual person, or that somebody come out and say, oh, I just found out something brand new about God that's never been revealed before. Garbage. All right? Truth has been revealed already in the Bible, from the Genesis, the book of introductions or beginnings, to Revelation, the book of conclusions. End, period, done. Okay? God has revealed himself in the manner in which he desires, so that we would know him. Now, the Bible is not the end all in and of itself. So we are not worshiping the Bible. All right? We are not like the Baha'i. We are not like Sikhs. All right? We don't worship a book. We look at that book that has been given to us as God's given truth that points us to Christ. All right? So your Bible is not the end all be all. It is the function that, or the truth that points you to the end all be all, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end and beyond. Okay? His word is revealed, and this is where it starts. And then his word proclaimed in the form of the gospel. All right, that's where we come in. We read the word of God, and then we proclaim the word of God. All right? And guys, listen to me. There are a lot of you who think that in order for you to give the gospel, you have to talk like me or Chris or Jason or anybody who's doing this vocationally. That is not true, okay? Excuse me. You use the truth that you know, not the truth you don't know, okay? You use the truth that you know, not the truth you don't know. So you don't need to know all of the crazy big questions. A friend of mine was telling me about, a friend of mine was telling me about this guy that he knew had just gotten saved. And the guy was going around telling people about Jesus. And he just kept telling people, you got to be saved. You got to be saved. And then people would ask him, well, what if God is so great? What about, you know, evil? What about this and whatnot? And the guy just looked at him like, well, I don't know about all that, but I know you need Jesus. All right. And then they would ask him another hard question, be like, well, I don't know about that, but I know you need Jesus. And he would just talk about their need for reconciliation with God. Why? Because that's what he knew. Okay. It's not for you to debate people. It's for you just to share and proclaim this good news that God has given you. All right. So his word read, his word proclaimed, and his word known in the person and work of Jesus Christ, all right? And this one goes with this next one too, all right? So his word known in the person and work of Jesus was known as the word of God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, okay? So Paul, right here, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews. Why is he saying this like this? He's saying that it's not just about the crucifixion, it's who was crucified. Why was he crucified? What does that crucifixion now do for you? All right? For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Okay? So God, in his infinite wisdom, knew that his son dying, that God incarnate, God becoming a man, and then living a perfect life and then dying a horrific death would be seen as ridiculous and stupid, because people would not, number one, believe that God would become a man, and number two, that God would ever dare to die. But that's the reality. These are people that didn't know God. They didn't know, understand how far God would go to redeem his people, how far God would go to glorify himself for his utmost glory and our utmost good. Okay, so, and lastly, his word known in the person work of Jesus Christ, but also his word received in the hearts and minds of his people. Guys, you need the word of God every single day. You need truth. I'm going to bet there are at least half of you who are news junkies. Okay, you are, Corliss, you can shake your head, but I know that there's other people that are. All right, It's like, it's just me and Corliss. I'm not even talking to the rest of you. It's, you know, yeah, it's not true. But anyway, there are news junkies out there. Guys, here's the deal. You pour all this stuff into your mind, and there is some truth in it, but there's a lot of deception. You need truth. You need real truth. You need wisdom. That wisdom comes from the scripture. You have to, that wisdom comes from hearing God's word proclaimed to you by godly men, okay? And godly women. Listen, proclaim the word of God and receive it. Receive that truth, all right? Secondly, how the power of the cross is the cross is the power and wisdom of God. God's power is displayed in paying our ransom and taking our punishment, okay? Why is it but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews? Why are we preaching Christ crucified? It's because he paid our ransom and took our debt, all right? He took and paid our debt through his son's death through his son's death and resurrection. Told you I would make a gaffe. God in his wisdom knew we needed saving and we could not save ourselves. And thirdly, God, this good news is our power and wisdom. go back up to verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but for us, it's the power of God. It means that is that very word and that very act by Christ is the power that God is using for us. All right. If you go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, it says, Paul's praying a prayer that we would understand things, the hope of our calling, our part in God's inheritance in the saints, but also the power that is being worked toward us, the same power that raised Christ from the dead and placed him at the right hand of God. So what he's saying, though, there is that the good news, this gospel that you've received, this gospel that you've heard, that you've received, that you've believed, okay, that is God's power in your life, and it is a resurrecting power, okay? It is a resurrecting power, all right? I'm jumping here, all right? So this is the good news. And when we look at 2 Peter 1:3, it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So what is he saying right there? What he's saying is that everything you need in your life to walk with Jesus is in the gospel, and you've already heard it. All right? You've already been given it, and that is your power. It's us believing it, us proclaiming it, us sharing it with other people. All right? His divine power has given us everything we need. It means I don't have to keep praying for more power. God's already given it to me. It means I need to start using it, okay? Using the wisdom and the power God has given me, all right? Thirdly, how is the cross and the power and wisdom of God? Number three, God's power is, I confused myself with this one anyway, the way I wrote it. So I'm going to read the way Jason wrote it because I like it better. God's power is brought and is bringing hostile people into a love relationship with him through faith and repentance. Okay? So listen to me on this. Okay? Not just because I'm shouting at you. God has transformed the heart of the rebellious sinner through his grace. All right? Look at verse 27. Look at verse 27. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring things that are bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God has transformed your heart through his wisdom, all right? And here's my question to y'all. Why would God change the plan just because you're saved? Okay? Why would God change the plan? Why would God all of a sudden not want to use the gospel to continue to transform you? So don't think that you're ever going to outgrow the gospel. Don't think you're ever going to get past the gospel. You're not. You never will. The gospel is always going to be part of your life. All right? So your confession and repentance through faith in Christ is God's power on display. It means every day that you say, I'm a sinner, I messed up, but the power of Jesus has already forgiven me, and now I have freedom. Okay? Your confession and repentance of rebellion puts God's wisdom into action. So when you agree with God that your unbelief has been a problem, when you agree with God that your sinfulness is a problem, when you agree with God that you have been trying to grasp at his situation, guess what? He begins to transform your heart because you're agreeing that that was wrong and it needs to be changed. All right? That's where God's power comes in. That's where God, and this is where the word of God comes in. This is why you need that truth to remind you, that truth to keep pointing you to Christ and the other saints. You need Christians in your life. Not just any Christian. You need a subset of Christians who are around you on a regular basis who can love you and point you to Jesus and point you back to the scripture. All right? God confuses conventional wisdom through transforming people in this manner because it doesn't fit into their matrix. And yes, I make a play on the movie there. All right? The movie The Matrix is about the human race being enslaved and put into a computer program so that the computer, that the machines can use their bodies as an energy source. All right. It sounds ridiculous to some of you. It was a fun movie. I don't care who you are. All right. So, but anyway, you have those though who've been broken free from it, and they see what truth is. They see what reality is. All right. It, and even though it was the inside the computer program was nicer, even though it felt better, it was all a lie. Okay, guys. Even though conventional worldly wisdom looks like it's more fun, even though it looks like it's something that will tantalize the senses and make you feel better, it's still a lie. And it will still result in death. Spiritual death. Not just a physical death. Here's the deal, guys. If you get everything you want in this life, you get all the money, all the power, all the notoriety, the great house, the great car, the great job, everybody loves you, and yet you still don't have Christ, you are going to hell. You are still going to be separate from God. You are still going to spend eternity in torment. Not because God is vindictive, but because God is righteous and has to righteously punish everything that is against him. Okay? Do not be deceived. I understand what the world offers, but it does not offer life. It only peddles death. So where do we go from here? That's a great question, Melissa. I'm glad you asked it. Stop worrying about fitting into the cultural narrative, okay? Stop worrying about fitting into the cultural narrative. This is not the way for us, okay? We are not transformed through politics, national pride, and entertainment, charity, comfort, or security, okay? None of these things transforms us. Only following the Lord Jesus Christ in faith transforms us and changes us into his image. This isn't about us trying to become more moral. It's not about us trying to become more loving on a human standard. It's not about us being entertained. It's not about us having all of the wisdom that the world offers, but rather it's about us being transformed and stop. It's about us stopping. We have to stop thinking that everything that's around us is something that we need. Okay. So stop worrying about fitting into the cultural narrative. Confess we have sought wisdom outside of God. Confess. All right. We know God is our lasting hope, but we still seek shiny things and squirrels. Anybody who's seen Up knows what I'm talking about. All right. I know I've made a lot of movie references in this one, but it's because I'm just around people again and my head just goes crazy. But the deal is, guys, we'll be talking to God and all of a sudden, squirrel, you know, shiny. And we get distracted. We need to confess and repent, confess that we have sought wisdom outside of God. And we need to repent of that. We need to repent of trying to grasp at God's position. Because when we're taking the cultural narrative, we're taking on the idea that we are God and we're not. We're still trying to commit the sin of our first parents. Okay? Adam and Eve, what was their first sin? They were grasping at God's position. They wanted to be like God. All right? They wanted to be like God. So stop trying to grasp, but repent of that. Say, God, I don't want your position. I want to submit to your position. All right? Lastly, and this is the best one, okay? This is the best one. Embrace and enjoy Jesus. Okay? Embrace and enjoy Jesus. Embracing Jesus' sovereignty over us will bring the freedom we desire. Come back to verse 30. I know y'all thought I was done talking about the scripture, but I'm not. Surprise. All right. And because of him, you are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So embrace the fact that he's our source, and he's where we get our righteousness, our wisdom, our sanctification, our redemption. He is our source, and we have to keep coming back to him. John 15:1, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay? Embrace that. And then also, embracing Jesus' work on the cross through intentionally living as someone who is. So act like someone who knows Jesus. Act like someone who's been changed by Jesus. Act like somebody who is holy and redeemed. Okay? Lastly is boast about him. Brag about him. Okay? Enjoy Jesus by bragging about him. You know what you brag about? The things you're proud of, the things you enjoy, the things you're excited about. So when we talk about bragging and boasting, if you're going to say that Jesus has changed your life, then talk about how he's changed your life. Remember how we're talking about this whole idea of, you know, talking about what you know, not what you don't know? Well, you know your own life. So here's the deal. In Revelation chapter 12, I never remember the reference, which is odd for me, but at the same point, I don't remember the verse. But it says, Michael and the archangels have just had a war with Satan and the demons. Michael takes Satan and throws him to the earth. And then an angel says, "Woe, woe to the earth, because the dragon has now come down to you and he is going to persecute the saints." It says, but the saints overcame him through two things. They overcame him through the blood of the Lamb, so brag about Jesus, his blood, and to the word of their testimony. Your testimony is powerful, okay? And you don't know who your testimony is going to impact. Use it. Use how God has changed your life to change someone else's life. And do it in the wisdom and power of God. Guys, my big encouragement to you is make the cross enough. Is the cross of Christ enough for you? That's something only you can answer, each of us individually. So this week, going to work, is the cross of Christ enough for me? Interacting with my spouse, is the cross of Christ enough for me? My children, is the cross of Christ enough for me? Is God's wisdom what is leading my life, or am I still relying on the cultural conventional wisdom? Come back to the cross and enjoy God's wisdom. God, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the cross of Christ. Father, help us to make much of Jesus. Help us to make much of his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his return. God, we pray your wisdom to guide us and guard our hearts in Christ Jesus, that we would not trust anyone else except you. And we just pray all that in Christ's name. Amen.